Let's go ahead and pray. Father, help us as we study again to learn and to grow. Lord, there's so much on our hearts at times, but I pray that You'd help us to just make the Word of God preeminent in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've covered the first five, one and others. Any questions on these at all? We're going to move to number six then in your notes. And I brought my little full notes here, so I feel a little more comfortable now than last week. I didn't have my Greek in front of me, so that kind of gives. Galatians 6:2, let's turn there. Our premise is that there's so many things that are required of us that require us to gather together. If you do not gather together, you cannot do these. This is a huge example. Now, that doesn't mean it only happens when you gather together, but it cannot happen if you don't assemble together often. Number six, it's Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens would be number six then. The word for bear signifies to support as a burden. It is used with the meaning to take up as it's picking up anything, stones, to carry something. But obviously the idea is to help somebody carry something. I think on another list I actually translated this to carry. But to bear one another's burdens. So, what would it take to be able to bear one another's burdens? Yeah, you have to be with them, right? So that's the idea. You have to discover what it is first, and then you have to make plans to help them, right? So bear one another's burdens. And that usually won't come with casual contact. Is that fair to say that? We don't usually share what our needs are on the same level of, hey, great day, isn't it? Nice weather out there or whatever. Okay, it takes time to get to know. And I believe that the Bible would carry out that a local body is very much involved with each other on an ongoing basis. Questions on that? There's more to say about the verse, but I won't try to explain all the details. The law of Christ, for example. Won't go into that today. Number seven sounds similar, but it's not the same word. Number seven is bear with one another. Bear with one another. Ephesians 4:2. Says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another. And then one that I don't think is on your list. I don't have a copy right in front of me. But Colossians 3:13 uses the same word. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do so. Bearing with one another again there. What does that sound like? Bearing one another's burdens is helping them with things, and the word burdens is actually something that would be a burden that you can't handle on your own. Because later on it says everyone should bear their own burdens. And that's stuff that you are responsible to carry yourself. On the financial end, we said you should pay your own bills and live within your own income. That's the idea. There's things that God wants you to handle yourself, but there's also things that are just too heavy to handle yourself. That's when other people come along. But what is this? Bear with one another. What does that mean? That's a good way to say it. When I do something stupid, you don't dump me, right? It's putting up with somebody. Here's the word, and I'm using the Vines Dictionary right now to just kind of explain a few of these. Signifies to hold up against a thing and to bear with. It means to hold up. So you can translate it forbear or suffer with somebody, but it's putting up with somebody. That's just part of it. How many here at times need people to put up with you? Isn't that great? Isn't it good to return that favor as well, right? Okay? So, bearing with one another, that's the idea. It's holding them up rather than putting them down for that same purpose. So, bearing with one another. Number 8. And you can turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:18 if you want. The word is comfort one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. This is at the end of the rapture passage. Remember, people had died. It says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, that you sorrow not as others who have what? No hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so also those who sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the sound of the trump, and the Lord shall descend. And it says, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, what? Comfort one another with these words. Okay? The word is comfort. And the reason I'm telling you that, because we're going to come along, this word that's translated comfort is translated several different ways. This is parakaleo. The noun form is parakletos, or kletos actually. Kletos, depends on you. But the word para means to many different meanings, but to come alongside. Sort of a paralegal. Paralegal, I think, is a secretary that helps the lawyer. They come alongside the lawyer, okay? Or helps the person that needs. Okay? Para is to come alongside. There's also parachurch organizations. I'm not particularly convinced anymore that those are biblical ideas, but they claim that they come alongside the church. Kaleo almost is what it sounds like. You get a kaleo? Yeah, this is a verb form, to call. So I'll explain this in a sec. But come alongside, so it's one called alongside would be parakletos. And to come along one side would be this. It's to be called along one side or whatever. But it can be translated multiple different ways. And it depends upon the context. Here it means comfort because people have died. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We'll see another use in a little bit because it comes in our list in just a few. Alphabetically, remember we're going. But this is, you come alongside someone. Does that make sense? Comfort some people. They've lost loved ones. And it's like, it's not over. The Lord's coming back. They'll bring them with them. And we will meet in the air and we'll forever be with the Lord. So it's the word takes on a comforting connotation here. Okay? We'll be more into that in a sec. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. I don't know if it's in your list or not, but it says, therefore comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing. So again, it's repeated there. We are required to do this, to comfort one another. Number 9, in alphabetical order here. By the way, you can't comfort somebody if you're not gathering together. You don't know about it, you can't take the time to do that. The next one is to confess what? Your trespasses to one another. I'll just leave that. Confess your trespasses to one another. James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. All right? What does it mean to confess? Okay. The Greek word that we get, like 1 John 1:9, we're to be confessing our sins, right? That's this word here. This word is same, and that makes sense even when you talk about homosexual marriage. The homo simply means same. Same-sex marriage. You're saying the same thing. Homo just means same. Logeo is to say. So confess literally would mean what? To say the same thing. So if you confess your sins, what are you doing? Go ahead. Right, exactly. You're saying the same thing about your sin that God says. Does that make sense? Confessing is saying the same thing about it as God says. All right, that's confessing. And then that same passage, verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar. Doesn't that make sense now? Because we say that it's not sin. Well, then we're saying God's lying because He says it is. Okay? Now, this word in this verse is the same thing, only it has an E, well, for all practical purposes, X. Okay? Ex homologeo, which means to confess out. Exit sign. Okay? To confess out. So it's saying outwardly. So it adds a little bit there. It's the confess to one another. You know, it's what is confess out to one another your trespasses. When you sin, you confess that to people. Now, what does that require? Coming together, right? Gathering together. And by the way, it seems to imply, too, that you've been together. Why do I say that? Because if any people are together long enough, what happens? Trespass, offense, right? It's not something you seek to do, but it's something that will happen. What do you do then? You confess your trespasses to one another. All right? So that's what confess your trespasses in James 5:16 says. We'll be back in James 5:16. Some of you have already caught another one another in there, right? That's later on. It's not in alphabetical order, though. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. We've seen this before, right? Consider one another. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Okay? And we said to, when we explained this a couple weeks ago, kata nomen, to consider, means to place your mind on. And it's present tense, continually placing your mind on. Upon or against or down on. So you're thinking about people all the time. You're considering them in order to stir them up to love and good works. Okay? Consider one another. So that's another one we're required to do. And this is a reason even to come together, because we're considering one another. We said we come together for other people, not for ourselves primarily. So you come together to consider one another in order to stir them up to love and good works. Questions so far? We've covered 10. Number 11. I might have to move parallel. I'll just put edify here, okay? That's the next one. We'll talk about this in a minute here. Edify one another. Let's jump to Romans 14:19, okay? It says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. I'll give you another Greek word. Greek words are fun. You don't have to remember them, but they're just interesting. Let's see what the exact word is here. Oops, I'm writing two languages. What's a domain? You use this more than you realize. This first part here. Oiko. Oikonomy. Oikology. Okay, those are words that we get. It's changed to what in the English language? They've abbreviated it, so it's eco. That's what it's from. It's the word in Greek for house. So, economy. Economy is the word house, and that comes from the word house law. Ecology would be the study of the house. Okay? So, different words that make... This is house, to build a house. Okay? So you're building up. You're building a structure. Build up one another. Okay? Edify. So I know it's kind of funny, but eco, I don't think we have an English equivalent for that, but edify, you're building a structure. It's a building phrase, but you're supposed to build up one another. Okay? Pursue the things by which you can build one another up. That's what the word edify means. It's also found, and I'm not sure what verses you have, but I'll give these to you in case you don't have them. But 1 Thessalians 5:11, it says, therefore comfort each other and edify one another just as also you are doing. Build one another up. And it's not some kind of artificial thing. It's like speak things that help to build that other person spiritually. Okay, it's not light, fuzzy, fluffy things. It's helping truly to help build them up. It might be in the process of admonishing them, bringing something to mind. It might be giving them new information. It might be encouragement. But the idea is to build them up. Here's two that probably aren't in your notes. Ephesians 4:16 and Jude 1:20. You can write those there. And I'll just read them to you. Ephesians 4:16 says this, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share and causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. There, Ephesians 4:16 seems to be the edifying of the group. not just the individual. Jude 1:20 says this, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." It actually adds an EP on the front, so it's building upon or building up. So building yourselves up on your most holy faith. We're to grow. The Word of God is like a seed. Remember, like we've talked about in Luke, it's like a seed, and we're supposed to let it grow to bear fruit. We're supposed to build ourselves up on our most holy faith. Questions so far? Ready for number 12? I see some of you are writing. I don't want to go faster than we should. The next one is exhort one another. Exhort one another. This is the exact same word as this when it was used to comfort. Parakaleo. It depends upon the context. It can be translated comfort, exhort, or even encourage, depending upon the translation. But it's also the context. Remember, you have a Hebrews 3:13, it says, "Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Okay, now, do you understand why it's translated exhort rather than comfort here? Does that make sense? The same word, but it's translated, you're called alongside, but for a slightly different purpose. This one here was because that you sorrow not as others have had no hope. People have died. God will bring with Him those that have died who are asleep in Jesus, right? It's comforting. You come alongside and it has a comforting effect. In Hebrews 3:13 and also Hebrews 10:25, it says, "Lest you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin or to stir up to love and good works." Then it has a different connotation. It's to, you come alongside, not to hug, but to push. Okay? Does that make sense? It's the same word, but the context determines what you're coming alongside to do. Okay? The noun form of this is used for the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. He's our advocate. It's translated advocate. He's translated comforter. It depends on the context even how it is. An advocate is like a lawyer. A lawyer is probably not as comforting as a comforter. It depends upon the context. Depends on the lawyer too, I suppose. Okay? But we're to exhort one another, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. So, and why are we exhorting? We're exhorting to stir up love and good works. Here it's the comfort, if you will, the hug. The other is to help them forward. But you're alongside either way. Okay? I remember taking It was a road march. It was called a forced march. We had so much time in which we had to march. It was an air assault school in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And we had to march within a certain amount of time, and how they did that was they had a pace man, and if you had to finish, as long as you finished in front of him, you made the time. He was marching at a particular pace. You had to keep in front, and you were encouraging people to keep up. Okay, and I remember one of the buddies I was with fell behind. He kind of gave up, and all it took the other buddy that was there with me from the same unit, we were encouraging one another to keep going. And so we made that pace. The other guy got sent home because he didn't make the pace. But we were encouraging him to come on, keep on, you know. And it helped us, but it didn't help him. So there's still a, a response required, but we're there to help one another. So those two verses there, Hebrews 3:13 and 10:25 there. So same word, you're called alongside, depending on the context, what you're called alongside to do. All right? So we're here to comfort one another when we need comforting. We're here to exhort one another daily, the Bible says, in order for us to be protected and also prompted for encouragement. The next one is number 13. Everybody can have this now. I'll erase this so it looks a little neater here. Number 13, forgive. Forgive one another. Colossians 3:13, we've been in there before, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave, so you must also do. What do people do nowadays? At times. Well, they get revenge or they just leave, right? What does God call us to do? To forgive, right? What does that mean? Does it, the Bible assume that there'll be offenses then? Right? Does that make sense? It assumes that there'll be offenses. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to what? Forgive, even as God is for Christ forgave you, so you also must do. I'm going to give you two different... this is the same word actually here. I'll write it in English, hopefully. Sorry, I gotta find it. Okay, it's I'll write it in Greek too, because looks like this. Look at the first part. What does that look like? Charis. Oh, by the way, that's supposed to be an R, sorry. Charisma or what? In some places, you go to their house and say, before you eat, you have to say grace. Okay? That's the Greek word for grace. In fact, our daughter Teresa is named for this. The word for grace is this. You can see it right here. Okay? It's the first part. This is a verb form. We just named her funny. It looks like Carissa or Carissa, but that's where it comes from. We just added an S and an A on the end, kind of. But this, there's no English letter, so then it's CH, and how confusing it's just all. Anyway, so that's the hard CH, like a German, right? Charizomai. And basically, it's you could say it this way, bearing with one another and gracing one another. Because it's gracing, right? Even as Christ, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ graced you, in the same way also you must do. Okay? Does that make sense? It adds a little bit. There's other words for forgive. It's interesting that it chooses this one. It's what Christ has done for us, we're to do for others. We're supposed to grace people. And it can be translated to thank as well or to whatever. But here it's to forgive. You're gracing somebody. What is grace? Grace is giving to someone what they do not deserve, right? What they do not have coming. That's what God says. We're to grace one another. Even as Christ has graced us, we are to grace one another. Okay? Very, very neat how that comes out. Ephesians 4:32 is another verse that goes along with this, if you want to put that down. It says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Again, gracing one another, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. And it uses the exact same words in kind of a parallel passage. So forgive. Grace them. Okay? Give them what they don't deserve, because that's what Christ has done for us. And the idea of gracing is to let it go. Okay? Number 14. Greet one another. And it's interesting, with a holy kiss. We used to laugh at that as kids. You know, holy kiss. Romans 16:16 says, greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. I'm looking at the word. I'm not familiar with every Greek word, but it's. I'm not sure where it comes from. I'm going to look it up real quick. Greet first. Let's start with greet. What does that mean? Yeah. Yeah, you acknowledge their presence. You say hello. That word just means to greet, welcome, or salute. And again, that's a friendship kind of thing, okay? Now the kiss, let me look it up here. We're definitely not in the kiss culture, are we? Now if you go overseas, it's very common, right? Almost Europe, that's common. So we're the ones that don't do that. But you see, you know, the cheek-to-cheek kind of thing. Let me look it up real quick. It comes from the word, we get phileo is brotherly love, or phileo is a friendship kind of love. And the word is phileima. So it comes from that word. It's a kiss, a token of Christian brotherhood. Holy kiss doesn't really describe it beyond there. So, and by the way, it says the kiss took place thus between persons of the same sex. Okay, it was a brotherly kiss kind of idea. Who does that in our day? I know Jim knows of some. You know what I'm talking about, right? The Dunkard Brothers. Is it the Dunkard Brothers? Have you ever seen them? Like, I've been to some pastors' meetings years ago now, but they kiss right on the lips. Now, in our culture, there's nothing gross about it when you see it happen. And it's not a embracing, it's a kind of idea. And they take it to heart. And I would say I probably wouldn't feel comfortable doing that, but I commend them for obeying God in that way. Does that make sense? I'm not saying you have to kiss on the lips kind of thing. And it's probably a cultural thing to some degree, but the idea is you're expressing friendship, whether it's a hug or a good solid handshake or whatever. I would say that I wouldn't be afraid to say that would probably be along the same lines. Okay? Whether we have to kiss each other, I don't think that is maybe the mandate here. But do you have four verses in yours? Okay. Now there's actually four. 1 Peter 5:14 would be the other one. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Okay? But you understand, we're probably somewhat ruined in our American culture to our fault. I'm saying, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying things become different things in a different culture. But the idea is the expression of brotherly love that way. Okay? We're so probably against this now because of the same-sex marriage issue and all this kind of stuff. But just like you see overseas, no one says anything when they're, you know, you even see the heads of nations, they do that, and no one thinks too, you know, that way. But kissing on the lips, that's, I don't know, I'd feel uncomfortable with that. But they still do it out of honor to the Lord in that way. They don't do it, and it's not a bad thing when you see it, but I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that. And it's also, you know, it's a holy kiss kind of idea, and maybe that's the idea of being holy too. Okay, because the commitment to be holy toward one another. But at the very least, you would say, acknowledge brothers and sisters in a friendly way. So we should acknowledge them and acknowledge them in a sense of brotherly love. What do the Spanish do? I've brought this up before. It isn't the kiss part, so you can do that, and maybe the hug or whatever, I don't know. But one thing that I learned, Pastor Kent taught me, is if you go upstairs, you have to say hello to everyone. And maybe that's where this is connected to. There's a lot of before and after time. And you say hello to everyone. That's part of it. And again, maybe that's where this is rooted in. They're commanded to, and so they do. So it's wrong not to say hello to everyone. And so when you go upstairs, sometimes I just, you know, I'm trying to sneak in or something. But if I'm there, I make sure and greet everyone before I leave, if I'm there before or after the service, because I know that is what they're expecting, and I think that's probably, they're on pretty good grounds to expect that. Okay? To greet one another with the holy kiss. Number 15. Have compassion on one another. 1 Peter 3:18. I have to look. I don't have my Greek here for that, so I have to look it up. For some reason, by the way, if you want a great book that's helpful, the Vine's Expository Dictionary. There's lots of different versions of it, but it lists everything in English. Like it'll list like compassion, and then it'll list the 5 Greek words in English, what they are, and usually list the verses that it's used as. So you can find out what it's being there. So that's how I can not look at my Greek New Testament. Right now I don't have the verse in front of me, but let's see if I can find which one it is. This is 1 Peter 3:8. I'm not seeing it listed, so I'll have to look it up real quick. Hang on just a sec. There's different ways to look it up. But go ahead and let's read this verse, though. It says 1 Peter 3:8. It says, finally, all of you, be of one mind. We've talked about that already. Having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Let me see if I can find... James, 1 Peter, what is it, 3:8? 3:8, okay. Okay. Okay, we get the word, I love words. That's why I enjoy this. Let's see if you can get this. What it look like? Sympathy, right? That's what it is. Pathos is pathos, to feel, right? To feel, and then soon or sin. Synagogue, it's with. Okay? To have feelings with. All right, have compassion. So it would be slightly different than comfort. When then comfort would be to come alongside and encourage them. What would this to have the same feelings with? Like kind of the idea, kind of hurt with them. Okay, sympathy. have sympathy. So that's the word. Be of one mind, having sympathy for one another. Okay? Have the same feelings with them. So cry with the First Corinthians 12 tells them when someone's happy, be happy with them. That would be having sympathy. When something's sad, you cry with them, right? That's having sympathy also. There's different types of sympathy. Okay? So rejoice with them, cry with them kind of idea. So good word there. 1 Corinthians 12:25. Oh, I didn't write this one down. Have compassion. And again, each one of these requires us to be with them and spend lots of time with them. Have the same care is the next one. Have the same care. 1 Corinthians 12:25, that there should be no schism in the body. By the way, that is the Greek word as well. Schisma, schism. It's just translated, no division, no dividing in the body. You're talking about the local body. But that the members should have the same care for one another. This one I'm going to have to look up. Care. I look up the English word care. Pretty nifty. Merimna is the word. To draw in different directions, distract hand signifies that which causes us a care, especially an anxious care. So, having the same, and it sounds like it could be bad or good care, but having the same deep care for one another is the idea. No schism, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And again, that is the context which it says, if one rejoices, all rejoice with it. If one is sorrowful, all cry with it. So it's the deep care. It's not superficial. It's not artificial. It's deep care for one another. Okay? So having the same care for one another, whether they're important or not, whether they're remember it was talking body parts, whether they're prominent body parts or hidden body parts. All parts are important. All parts should have the same care for one another. The next one's big. We'll just look at a couple of them. But if I put them in priority order, this one would be first. Love one another. The reason is that all of them seem to stem from this. Okay? And there's the most verses on this. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, the second highest is probably greet one another with a holy kiss or exhort one another. So those are the tied for number two. But here it is. I'm just going to read some of these. And you've heard most of these verses before. John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. I don't think that's in your notes either. John 13:34 and 35. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. John 13:35. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Okay, so Jesus says it three times right there, love. And love, again, I would probably translate it care in our day, because most people consider love as a feeling. In the Bible, love is more of an action. It's an action verb. John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus is setting himself as the one to compare to. Owe no one anything, Romans 13:8, except to love one another. For he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, we've looked at this. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And it goes on and on and on. Okay? 1 John 4, beloved, if God so loved us, we also, this is the Greek word for, are obligated to love one another. On and on throughout there. So anyway, that is one we're supposed to. And by the way, if love is an action verb, you cannot do that at a distance. Love requires you to do something for someone. Okay? It requires, and I would say most of these probably fall under the umbrella of love. Either forgiving someone, being kind to someone, comforting someone. You know, Jesus said there are two great commandments. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. And love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. You could summarize the entire Old Testament. Love God, love people. And that's where you get this. Love one another. Okay? So huge. And you could probably spend an easy a Sunday school class just on this one. So over and over again, we're commanded to love one another fervently with a pure heart, as 1 Peter 1:22, for example. All right. Let's stop there today because we have more to go. And 18 is somewhat similar to number 21. Not the same, but similar. So I don't want to do 18 and not do 21. Questions or comments? Any hint that we should be together a lot? Again, we're going back to the whole idea of church, committed assembly, committed gathering, the idea that church is more than attending, isn't it? Way more than attending. Church is a commitment to that body to do all of these things. And it takes time and it takes interacting together in that way. All right? Questions or comments? Go ahead. And that's just one example. And for me, I don't give meals to help people. No, my wife does, but not me. But yeah, in the comfort to serve, we haven't covered serve or minister to one another. We'll do that. But even there's all kinds of ways to do that. So these are probably multiple ways to say the same thing, to do the same thing, right? So, all right, let's close in prayer. Save your notes if you can. I'll try and run off some more next week. But save your notes. We'll be on the same sheet of paper next week. Lord, help us to know your heart and to do your will. Lord, you put us on earth for other people and help us to be involved in one another's lives in the ways that you command us and describe to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.